Today is for Schus for Fu Shlema for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Daf Nun Zayin and Sechtik Subis. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav and Beis, the last words. It says the Gemara, Achsei the Rav and Bechama. The sister of Rav and Bechama having Sivala of Avya. She was married to Rav Avya. Virchis Ksubasa and her Ksuba got lost. Asla Kameid Rav Yosef. So they came to Rav Yosef to ask if they may live together because they were in a situation of no ksuba. Amalhu, so Rabbi Yosef told them, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, this is what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul taught us, Zudiv Remeya. This halacha that we discussed in our Mishnah, that if a husband made a condition with his wife to lessen the amount of the ksuba, the B is considered Bila Znus, is the opinion of Rameya. Because Rameya says that anyone who doesn't have the ksuba with the proper amount is considered as if they're living without a ksuba, and therefore the Bia is considered a Bia Znus. However, a person can remain with his wife for 2 or 3 years, like ksuba, without a ksuba. And therefore, even though you had lost your ksuba, he said, you can remain together. Asked the Gemara, Amalei, so Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, how could you just rely on the opinion of the Chachamim? V'amar Rav Nachman Amishmul, that Allah Kremei B'gzeroysa. We always follow the opinion of Rameyer when he makes a rule. And here the ksuba is a rule derabbanan. Don't we have to follow his opinion? So he said to him, Ayhachi, if that is indeed the case, there is no option. Ayhachi, zil v'ksoivla, go write her another ksuba. There's a machlokes rishonim when we say here that the halach is like Rameya. What does that mean? Is it mean that he says that the B is a B is nus? But what about the halacha if somebody lowered the value of ksuba? Some say that in that case, the halacha is not like Rameya, because it goes back to a subject that we discussed in our previous year. If a davish of a moment, if we're talking about a financial matter, which of course the ksuba is the tanai going to be valid or not? So if we say that the Tanai is valid, so yes, Rameya could say that somebody living with his wife without a ksuba is a bias nus, but he can't say that the deal that they made is invalid. Others say that the Rambam says that the halach is completely like the opinion of Rameya, and even regarding the issue of the deal, the condition being invalid, we pass him like Rameya. Says the Gemara that Rameya said on the Ask Rashi, the Rameya said on Daf Nun Aleph that if he didn't write a ksuba, she still gets Masayim. So why is to Rameya the ksuba so important? So answers Rashi, there's a difference between a place that kaisen ksuba versus a place that like kaisen ksuba. In a pace, that was what the Gemara meant over there. In a makam that they don't write the ksuba, their halach is that she gets that amount no matter what. But in a place where the ksuba is written, of course, you have to have a physical document. And if you don't have the physical document, then the halach is that the bila is a bias mosnos. Rabbi Chanan the Kibbutz Shurim makes a very important point that many poskim make. And they say this halacha that we're discussing here is only in a case where they are aware that they lost the ksuba. But let's say we have a couple who actually lost the ksuba, but they're not aware that the ksuba is lost. Under those circumstances, says Rabbi Chanan, that's not a case of irchus ksuba. That's not a case where the ksuba was lost. The ksuba is considered lost only in a place where they had the ksuba, where they know that the ksuba is lost. But in a case, and I saw other poskim passing that way as well, in a place where they're not aware that the ksuba is missing, then there is no, then this halacha doesn't apply. The Shulchan Aruch says that not only may a husband and wife not remain together if they're missing the ksuba, but the Shulchan Aruch writes that they're not allowed to be together alone. Yichud is also if they don't have a ksuba. Drama, however, says that not everybody follows that opinion. And their opinion is that only Bia is Asur if they don't have a ksuba. But says Drama, Yichud alone is mutter to in a case where they don't have a ksuba. Drama goes on to say that, as we've discussed a number of times, according to the opinion of the Rambam, that a chuppas nida is not considered a valid chuppah. Therefore, he says that a chuppas nida doesn't have to have a ksuba. He says the whole purpose, as we're learning now, of a wife having the ksuba is because, as Ramei just taught us, if she wouldn't have the ksuba, they wouldn't be able to go home together. But if we have a chuppas nida, they can't go home together anyway. And therefore, we could be more lenient with the ksuba in such a case. Of course, it's appropriate to have the ksuba. Says Tosfos that if they had a ksuba and then they lost it, the halach is that we could be a little more lenient when the Gemara says, according to the opinion, Shtayim v'shaloshonim, because the question Tosfos is trying to ask is, what does the Gemara mean when it says 2 or 3 years? Is it 2 or 3? So Tosfos says that when the Gemara quoted the opinion of the Rachamim, which we don't pass him that way anyway, when the Gemara quoted the opinion of Mash Adam Zishtai Shayim Vishal Shonim, what the Gemara meant to say was that there's no pressure to write the Ksuba according to Chamim, but as we keep on saying in our Shir, we don't pass him like the Chamim. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, a very important question. And that is, the ksuba was lost. And certainly, as we have learned in our shiur today, one has to replace that ksuba. Because we paskin like Rameyer, without another ksuba, the bia is a bias nus. From what date is the ksuba written? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if one could find, and as we've learned in our Masechta many times, this is an extremely relevant question. Because the lien that there is on the husband's assets begin from the date of the ksuba. But if we have a situation that the ksuba was lost and we're writing a new ksuba, we have to have edim to the date. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if we have edim that remember when this couple got married and we're rewriting the ksuba, we can write it with the date of the marriage, even though now it could be many years later. However, the Meiri says that there are Rishonim that disagree. And they hold, you can never write a date in a shtar that's not today's date, even though the people who are involved very much remember when it happened. And he for brings different opinions. If you're rewriting a shtar, if you're a shtar choiv, everybody agrees if you're rewriting, you only write from today's date. He brings a machloikus, what's going to be the halacha by a shtar ksuba. But certainly everybody will agree that if you're rewriting a shtar ksuba, you have to have edim that remember the ksuba of the wedding. But then the achroinim ask, why should we not be concerned that this husband and a wife made a deal between themselves? They're going to come into Beis Din. They're going to say that we lost the ksuba. We need another ksuba written. But really, the first ksuba was never lost. What they're going to do is, she's going to collect from the ksuba twice, and by using the ksuba twice, she'll be in a place that she could, and then they'll divide the money, and the lekuchas will be the ones, the people who purchased the properties will be the ones that lose out. So says the Nachla Shiva, it's a very valid question. But says the Nachla Shiva, since we've been learning in our Gemara that there's no way for this couple to remain together without a ksuba, as Ramei just taught us, we learned in the Mishnah, we just learned that that's the halacha in the Gemara, that a husband and wife may not remain together without a ksuba, because we have no other option, that's why Chazal were lenient and did not act on this concern. Says the Gemara, Ki Asur of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amr, he said the following: Amr Rav Shimon Pazi, Amr Rav Shimon Belevi, Mishum Bakapara, Machloikis. We have a Machloikis, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi in the Brisa. If a husband, we learned in Daf Novava Mabez, if an oral cannot tonight, an oral condition to lessen the amount of the ksuba is a valid condition. The machloikis is only betchila at the beginning, and the Gemara is going to point out what that means. Av b'soif, if it happened at the soif, again in a moment we'll identify what soif means. L'divrei hakol ein machlelus, saying it is insufficient. It would only be sufficient is if it's written. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, bein bezu, bein bezu. Whether the mechila took place at the beginning or at the end, there's a machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will hold that a mechila bal peh is valid. Rabbi Yehuda will hold a mechila bal peh is not valid. Amar Avua, says Rabbi Avua, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan did not argue as it seems Rav Dimi said, but rather, L'dim mefashlem b'dei Rav Yochanan, I heard from Rav Yochanan what they meant to say. That no, says Rav Yochanan, I, Rav Yochanan Rishu Malevi, and Loi Pligid Adadi, we don't argue. And they explain that this is how to understand. First, as we said, my betchila cover Rishu Malevi, what was Rav Yishu Malevi said, that that's the place that Rav Yehuda and Yossi argue? Tchilas Chuppah. It's talking about at the beginning of the actual Nesu'in. The beginning of the actual Nesu'in is the Chuppah. And that's where Rabbi Yossi holds that a Tanai Baper helps. On my soif, what does Rabbi Shimon Levi says that it doesn't help Baper? That's the soif Abiyah. After the husband and wife consummated their marriage with a Abiyah, so it turns out Rabbi Shimon Levi hears like this. Until from the beginning of the Chuppah, till the end of the chuppah is considered tchila. And that's where we have a machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef. But at the besoif, that means after the biyah, everybody will agree that the mechila bal peh is not adequate. Why? So explains the Ritva. If the husband and wife already consummated the marriage, we could be confident that unless she put the mechila into writing, she really didn't mean it. And since she didn't really mean it, that's why it's not valid. Everybody agrees until it's committed to writing. Says Rabbi Yochanan, V'ki amena ano. And when I said, bein bezu, that both betchila besoif is machloikis, what I meant was, tchila meant tchilas chuppah, soif meant soif chuppah, that's the tchilas biya. That means, according to Meshuv and Levi, and according to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, there's no machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Everybody agrees that the mechila bal peh will help. The machlokes will only be in that case. But besoif, after the biyah, everybody will agree that that you need to have the mechila b'ksav. So according to this, there are three periods, the three times that we're speaking about. There's the part before the chuppah, that there's the part after the chuppah and before the biyah, and then there's the part after the biyah. So the part that's after the biyah, that's what Rabbi Shimon Levi called soif, and everybody agrees that you have to have the mechila b'ksav. After the chuppah and before the biyah, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, that's called tchila, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's called soif. And everybody agrees that that's the time that we have machloikis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda, if a Tanai Bal Peh helps. And the tchila means, as we said, when they came into the chuppah, where everybody agrees that a machila Bal Peh will help. Says the Gemara, Kiyasu Ravin, Amr Shimon Pazi, Amr Shimon Leib, Shimon Bakara, machloikis. He said the machloikis of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is lipsoif. Av betchila, and again, the Gemara in a moment will identify what this all means. Diriakol mechelas, a mechila b'alpeh is valid. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, bein bezu, both by Tchila and by Saif, we have the Machlokes of Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Explains the Gemara. Amar Avua, L'day Mefarshe L'Mined Rabbi Yochanan, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan how to understand what just said. Dano, says Rabbi Yochanan, I, Rabbi Yochanan, Rishu ben Levi, Loi Palgin and Al-Dadi. We don't disagree, says the Gemara, because my lip Saif, Dama Rabbi Shuban Levi. What did Rabbi Shuban Levi mean when he said Besaif? He meant Saif Chuppah, at the end of the Chuppah before the Bia. My Tchila, and what did Rabbi Shua ben Levi mean when he said Tchila's Chuppah? He meant before the Chuppah. And there, before the Chuppah, everybody agrees that Baal Peh, the Mechila, is fine. The Kiyah Kamina Ano. And when I said, says Rabbi Yochanan, the Bein Bezu Mechlaikis, means Tchila's Bia, the Saif Bia. But at the beginning of the Chuppah, the Halach is Mechila Baal Peh works. In other words, both according to Rishu Malevi and according to myself, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda did not disagree, only at the case of Saif Chuppah, not Saif Bia, Saif Chuppah, which is the Tchila's Bia. And they're also going to argue by Saif Bia. But by Tchila's Chuppah, everybody will agree that the Mechila Baal Peh is valid. Amar Papa. So comments for Papa. Ilav Amar Avua. If not for the fact that we heard Rabbi Avua say, L'day Mefashtem de Rabbi Yochanan, that I heard explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan, V'nav Rabbi Shuman Levi Loi Palgin and Adodi, that Rabbi Shuman Levi and I aren't arguing, and Rav Dimi and Rovin are arguing what Rabbi Shuman Levi and Rabbi Yochanan said, Hav Amina, I would have rather have said that Rabbi Yochanan and Shuman Levi Pligi, Rabbi Yochanan and Shuman Levi are the ones that are arguing, Rav Dimi v'Ravin loy Pligi, and I would have said my soif to come a Ravin, when Ravin said in the name of Shuban Levi that they only argued the soif, I would say that it means soif chuppah, which means tchilas bia. But before that point, everybody would agree, you can be my chabapeh. Or my tchilah, the comma Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi quoting Shuban Levi said that they're only arguing b'tchila, it would be tchila spia. But as saif bia, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that a mechila baal peh can't be valid. And Rabbi Yochanan argues with Shuman Levi, and he would say that both by tchila schopa and saif bia, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda are arguing. Ask the Gemara, what was Rabbi Yochanan trying to say? Rabbi Avu already said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that he doesn't disagree with Shum Belevi. And Rabbi Papa is not coming to disagree with them. So what does Rabbi Papa mean with this statement? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashman. What Rabbi Papa is trying to teach us with this statement is a rule for other areas where we have a machlokes amaroyim between amaroyim, like we had in our Gemara, machlokes of Shum Belevi and Rabbi Yochanan. And now we have a machloikis. What did those amoraim mean? As again, we have a machloikis Rav Dimi and Rovin. What did those amoraim mean? And there's two ways of explaining it. One way of explaining is that the original amoraim were the ones that had a machloikis. And then the Talmidim had different versions on what they said. They all agree what the original Amoraim said. Or we could say that the original Amoraim didn't argue, but the ones that came afterwards argued. Says the Gemara, well, it's rather to say that Pligi Trei Amoraim Atam Denav Shayu, V'loi Pligi Trei Amoroi Avliba Dechad Amoira. Says the Gemara, when we have these two options, where we could say it's the original Amoraim that are arguing, or it's the later Amoraim that are arguing, says the Gemara, and that's what Rav Papa is trying to teach us, we're always preferably going to say that it was the original Amoraim that are arguing and not the later Amoraim. Because it's the job of the later Amoraim only to explain what the original Amoraim said. And if the later Amoraim are the ones that are having the Machlokes, that turns out that the Machlokes goes back to the later Amoraim, we would much prefer to say that it's the original Amoraim that argued. Says the Gemara, Nice and Psula, 12 chodesh. We give every psula 12 months, mishitava baal, from when the husband tells the kala after the kedushin, they have 12 months, as we often discuss in our shiurim. In the time of Chazal, there were two stages. That's always going to be the halacha. There are two stages to the wedding, the erusin and the nesuin. But what our Gemara is teaching us is that in those days, not like nowadays, the erusin and the nesuin did not take place at the same time. And says the Gemara, we give the kala 12 months between the erusin and the nesuin. And the reason we give the kala 12 months between the erusin and the nesuin, explains Rashi, is because the kala has to prepare herself for the wedding. And how does she get a chance to prepare herself for the wedding? By giving her this time. To get herself ready for the wedding. Just like we give the woman an opportunity to prepare herself, we give the man, in those days, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, it was the husband who prepared the wedding. So we give the chassan his time to prepare himself for the almana, to prepare himself for the wedding. But says the Gemara, ul almana. But when we have an almana getting married, there the amount of time we give is only shloshim yom. There's machlokes rishonim. Our Mishnah differentiated between if the kala is a basula or not. What is the halacha? Is there any nafkamina if the chassan was previously married or not? The Rambam says that everything is dependent on the kala. If the kala is a basula, as we just learned, we give her 12 months. If the kala is a ba'ula, we give her 30 days. But there are other rishonim, based on the Yerushalmi, that disagree. And they explain that we also look at the husband in making this decision. And they say that if the chassan is a bachur, we give him 12 months, even if he's marrying an almana. And if he was previously married, then we give him 30 days, even though the kala is a psula. So according to that, Yerushalmi, and those Rishonim that follow the opinion of Rishonim, it's not that we look at the chassan or the kala to make this decision. We look at the person who's interested in getting married. And whoever says that they want to get married, they're the one that that controlled this decision. And if it's the chassan, we look at what is his status. Was he previously married or not? And if it's the kala, we look at who's making the request. We look at what her situation is. The Mishnah used the word Shnei Masach Chodesh, so the most Achronim say, because the Mishnah is teaching us that we look at 12 months, even though we know that a leap year has 13 months, the halacha here is it's a 12-month wait. The Rishash, however, disagrees, and the Rishash says that we actually wait 13 months in a leap year. Furthermore, says the Ritva, that this discussion that we're having in our Mishnah, 12 months, 30 days, etc., is only if they did not identify and determine when they're getting married. When they had the erusin, they did not make up when the nesuin will be. But if the chassan and kala agreed on a certain date, whatever that date is, that's the date that we have to follow. That's the date that we have to follow. Why is the halacha by an almana that we only give a shlosh miyoyim? So Rashi explains that a woman, as she gets married, needs to have many things prepared for the wedding. But this woman who was already married has many of those things, and she doesn't need all this time to get them before she gets married. If that's the case, there are achronim that say, what will be if you have a girl that on one hand she's a bu'ula, but on the other hand she never was married before? So how much time will we give it to our wedding? Will we give her 30 days because she's a bu'ula? Or will we say that she was never married, so all the things a wife needs to prepare before they get married, she doesn't have? So they want to suggest that the halacha should be, that Ayel Sahuvim says this, that the halacha should be that such a girl, even though she's a bula, should have 12 months. But if we look in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Hama'aris es habula. And the halacha is that it's a 30 days as soon as the girl is a bula. The Ravid furthermore says that an almana mena erisin, let's say there's a woman who was an almana, but all she only had was erisin. So their halacha is we give her 12 months. Only a woman who is an almana mena nesuin is given 12 months, but 30 days. Almana mena erisin, we give the whole 12 months. Says the Mishnah, Higi is man. So the time for the marriage came, and they didn't get married. The halacha is oichlus mishnoi. At that point, the husband has to start supporting the wife. And furthermore, if the husband is a kohen and she's a Yisraelis, at that point she's allowed to start eating truma. Says the Ritva that not only the Mishnah speaks about mezainus, but not only is it regarding mezainus. Everything that we learned that we're going to be learning, that a husband has to provide for his wife, begins at that time. Machloikus Rishonim, what about the wife's wages? As we're going to be learning, the wife has to turn, the husband supports the wife, and the wife turns over her wages to her husband. What will be the halacha when the time for marriage came? So we just learned in the Gemara, at that point, the husband has to be stopped supporting the wife. Is the husband entitled to his wife's marriage, to his wife's wages? And Dar Sameach, in discussing this question, says that this is a most fundamental question in understanding the Mishnah. When we just learned that when the time for the marriage comes, the husband has to begin to support her, what does the halacha mean? Does the halacha mean to say that as far as many halachas are concerned, as far as the financial element of the marriage is concerned, since the time for nesuin came, the halacha views them as a couple who has nesuin, and all the financial arrangements that are between a chassan and a kala, between a husband and wife, kick in. Or do we say, says Dar Sameach, that of course we cannot look at them as nesuin? They didn't have nesuin. This is a knas. This is a punishment for the person, for the husband who hasn't done the nesuin when he should have done the nesuin. If we say that the halacha views it as if they already had nesuin, so then the halacha should be that just like the husband has to support the wife will have to turn over her wages to the husband. But if we're going to learn that it's a special knas, so it could be the husband who didn't do the nesuin when he was supposed to do the nesuin at that point, supposed to begin supporting her. It's a knas, but they can't force the wife the woman who didn't do anything wrong to wait, to have to turn over her wages. Furthermore, the Tveris Yaakov says that even though, as we began our Mishnah, we said that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of Erisin and Nesuin. But as we also said that Bezman Azeh, Erisin and Nesuin are done at the same time, what will be if a couple gets engaged? And now we need to set a date for the wedding. Says Tveris Yaakov that even in our world, if after the engagement the girl asks that a date for the wedding be set, the chassan is not allowed to delay it past 12 months. The Mabit disagrees, and he says that the halacha that we're learning in our Mishnah is as the Mishnah began. That's only, as we began, only in a case of erisin. That's where Chazal said that there should be, under normal circumstances, no more than 12 months between the erisin and the nesuin. But an engagement doesn't really have a halachic status, and therefore, says the Mabit, this rule wouldn't apply. So now we said that if the chosim was a kohen and the kala, 12 months have passed, and at this point he has to start supporting her, And not only does he have to start supporting her, he could give a truma. So now the Mishnah begins to discuss how much truma does he give her. Rav Tafan Amin Nosan Lakol Truma. He could give her the entire amount of the mezainis in truma, even though this comes with a difficulty, because a girl inevitably is not always going to be allowed to eat truma, because she becomes a nida, and a woman who's tamei, anybody who's tamei, may not eat truma. According to Rav Tarfin, she's allowed to, he gives her entirely truma. However, there's a very big machlokes rishonim how to understand the opinion of Rav Tarfin. Some say that Rav Tarfin says she gets truma equal the amount that she needs to eat, which of course is a very difficult psak, because by giving her truma equal to the amount that she needs to eat, she's not going to have enough to eat, because the actual truma she can't eat because she's tamei. And if she sells the truma in exchange for chulin, as we often discuss, the value of truma is much less than the value of chulin, because it's supply and demand. There's a decent supply of truma, but the only people who could eat truma are kohanim. And according to that, those rishonim, her family, herself, will have to make up the amount that she needs, because she can't survive just on the amount of truma that the husband gives. However, there are rishonim that disagree, and they say that even Rav Tarfin, who says that the entire amount that she's given is given in truma, she gets enough truma that if she's going to sell it, she'll have chulin to eat. Kivaymer, in order to avoid all these problems, because there are times, like we just identified, when she may not eat truma, so because of that, Rav Kivaymer mechza chulin, mechza truma, we give her 50% chulin, and we give her 50% truma. And the pashup shat is because there are days that she's going to be a nida when she won't be able to eat truma, so says Rashi. The Rambam says that, again, we want to make life easy for her, and we don't want her to have to be careful. And by her having a decent supply of chulin, she won't have to go sell truma, and she won't have any of these issues. Hayavam, says the Mishnah, Hayavim ain't a machal b'truma. If a Yavim, even though he's a Kayin, and he has a Shemeris Yavim waiting for Yibam, that his Yavama doesn't get to eat truma. Also, so Sheikh Shadosh Mefnei Abal. So if you have a woman that was married for 6 months, and then she was in Arusa for 6 months to her husband, and then her husband passed away, and now she becomes a Shemeris Yavim to her brother-in-law. And she takes Shisha Chadoshim Fnei Yavim. And now she's waiting by her Yavim for 6 months. But Filu, says the Mishnah, Kulim Fnei Abal, she was there, she was waiting by her husband for the entire 12 months. Chosu Yoimecha Fnei Yavim. And the last day of the 12th month, the husband passed away. And at that point, she became a Shemeris Yavim. Oi, Kulim Fnei Yavim. Or the reverse case, she became an Arusa, and she was Arusa Chosu Yom Echad B'fnei Abal. In all these cases, Ein Echels B'truma, she doesn't need truma if the Gekavim is a Kayin. Machloikus Rishonim, what would be the halacha is if the husband and wife had 12 months. She was an Arusa for 12 months. What would be the halacha? Some Rishonim say that under that case, because if we look at all the examples that our Mishnah gave, all of those examples, she never had the full 12 months before her husband. So the Rabbeinu Tam wants to say, the Mishnah is being very precise. The Mishnah is saying it's only because she didn't have the full 12 months before her husband. But if she had the full 12 months by an Oris, then the halacha would be that now they never had Nisuin, and the husband passed away, says Rabbeinu Tam, such a woman would eat truma, just like the Orus would be obligated to give her truma, so too the Yavam has to give her truma. But there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say that the only time a woman eats truma is when her husband is giving her the truma, because they explain, the Torah says, Kinyan Kaspoy Amarachmona. It's somebody who I got married to. A woman to whom I got married, that woman, I have to give a truma, or as we're learning now in the Mishnah, if it's already 12 months from when they had Erisin, he has to give a truma. But in a case where it's not Kinyan Kaspoy, the Yavam wasn't the one who initiated the marriage. The Yavam is the one that has to continue the marriage because of the halachas that we've learned of Yibum. Then it doesn't make a difference what the situation is. His wife, the Shemeris Yavam, doesn't get a Truma. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Zu Mishnah Rishoina. This was the original opinion of the Tanoim. However, Bezdin Shalchreim, later Bezdin disagreed, and they said, Eina Isha Chels V'Truma, a woman should never eat Truma, Achid Karnas L'Chuppah, and until she has the actual chuppah, even more than 12 months passed. Ask the Gemara, Menonimili, we learned the number 12 months, and as the Pnei Yeshua explains, what our Gemara is not meaning to say that there's no din, there's a din of 12 months that we find in the Torah. Because as we're going to learn, that the Gemara is going to bring a raya from Rivka. And Rivka certainly did not have Kedushin that we could say that we could learn from Rivka that from the Kedushin to the Nesu'in should not take more than 12 months. Why, says the Pnei Yeshua, did Rivka not have Kedushin? So he gives two explanations. One, he says, is who is the one that did this entire transaction with Rivka? It was Eliezer. And Eliezer was an Eved. And an Eved is unable to do this type of transaction. That's one pshat. The other pshat that Pnei Yeshua says is that there's a big discussion. How old was Rivka? How old was Rivka when she got married? And when she had Erisin? And there are different opinions. And one opinion is that she was 14 years old. And a girl who's 14 years old, there's a whole new halacha regarding her. If somebody else could do erisin for her, and therefore explains the Pnei Yeshua, the Gemara is just looking. She's a begeris. There's no 12 months by a begeris. The Gemara is just looking for a number of 12. Where does the 12 month number come from? Says the Gemara, because we find in the pasuk Amar of Chizda, Damakra, when Eliezer was speaking to Psul and Lovin, V'yam Achia V'ima. Ask the Gemara, let's understand the definition of these words. My yomim. Ilema, yomim means two yomim. So ask the Gemara, the entire dialogue doesn't make sense. Mishtar inish hachi, is this the way people speak? Amrle, Eliezer says to Rivka's family, Trei yomi, let her just be here for 2 days. And then, after saying that, she says, "Vamalehu loy," and they said 2 days is not enough. So Amalei, so they said, "Asar yamim," and then he said 10 days. Why would he go down? Ella, my yamim, he said, "Shana." The ksiv, as the pasuk says, "Yamim tiyeh galasoy." The halacha is if somebody sells a home and bought the arichayma, you have a year to buy back, and that's what happened. They asked for a year, and after he refused the year, they said maybe 10 months. But not that they asked for 2 days, and when he refused 2 days, they asked for 10 days. That's not the way people negotiate. But what we see from here is that the proper time is 10 years. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying, based on the Pasuk, by the Batei Arachayma, where the Pasuk says, Yom Tia Gulasai, that Yom means a year, Ema, maybe we should say it means a chaydish. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, when the mesayinim asks for meat, the pasuk says ad chaydish yamim. So we see that when the pasuk uses the word yamim, it means a month. Answers the Gemara Amri. Dana yamim stam yamim stam. Here, by the parasha of Rivka, the Torah uses the word yamim. And by the parasha of Batei Arachayma, the Torah uses the words yamim. We're asked by the parasha of the mesayinim, there the Torah also uses the word chaydish, and therefore it makes more sense to say that yom to learn from Rivka. Amar Zera, Tana, Ktana, when we speak about a ktana that's mureses, the halacha is bein hi bein aviya, both she or her father, the halacha is yichayim l'akiv. Even though we've learned in our Mishnah that from the erusin till the nesuin should take 12 months, the halacha is by ktana we could wait more than 12 months as long as she's a ktana. And says the Ritva, not only in a case like the case of our Mishnah, where a specific date for the marriage has not been set, then we're learning that we should wait 12 months, but even in a case where a date for the marriage has been set, the ketana, since she's a ketana, she could say that it's difficult for me to say, and as the Rishonim explained, she could say it's difficult for her to get married because she's not prepared to have bia, or she could say she's not prepared to run a home, and all of these are good reasons for her delaying and are acceptable reasons. So ask the Gemara. Bishlami imatz makva, that the Tana wants to delay it, given the reasons that we just gave, is understandable. Ela aviyah, but what about the father? If the girl is prepared to get married, aviyah may nafkala minah. How could the father delay it? Answers the Gemara sova, hashtal yada. Because of parents, many times know what's better for their children than the children. And right now, the father's saying she doesn't really know what married life is all about, and she thinks that she's able to get married. But then, lamacha mimrida, and she's tomorrow going to realize the married life is way too difficult. V'nafka, and she's going to leave her husband. V'asi v'nafla lai, and then she'll be my burden. And because of that, the father could say that I don't want that they should get married. Says the Ri, that from here we see it's only that the girl and the father have a right to delay the wedding. But if neither the girl or the father are ready to delay the wedding, it's just the chosin who's not concerned, is this girl ready to get married? He has no right to delay the wedding. It's an interesting question that the Chashuki Chemed says, that what's the halacha if there's a girl who wants to marry a certain man, and the father says, I don't want you to get married. Does a father have a right to delay, to say to his daughter, don't marry to this man? The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, actually, in Yerideya, Simen Reish Mem, Sifchei, says that if the father doesn't want to let his son marry a woman that the son wants to marry, the Ramah Paskins, Ain't Tzarech L'shmoya L'rav. You don't have to listen to the father. And the Gra explains, a halacha that we learned many times, that even though, of course, we're all obligated in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av V'Eim, but we're not obligated in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av V'Eim when our parent is telling us to do something against the Torah. Since the son has an obligation to get married, and he wants to marry this woman, the father, the parents, cannot stop him from getting married. So now the question is, what is going to be the halacha regarding the daughter? The daughter doesn't have the same obligation to get married as the son. So a son, could say, I have a mitzvah to get married, and you, my father, cannot stop me from getting married. But by a girl, she doesn't have a mitzvah to get married. Moreover, as our Gemara just mentioned, the father could say that if she gets married, and I know that this is a man to the marriage won't work, the father could prevent him from getting married. And that's why he paskins that a father could prevent a daughter from getting married. He quotes the Rav Vozner in the Shas HaTshuva Shevet HaLevi, Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. He says that even in the case of the Ramah, where the son wants to get married and the father doesn't want him to marry that woman, the Rav Vozner Zatzal says, whenever such a shaila comes to him, he says, let's wait and see. Because even though the Ramah says they're not obligated to follow what the father says, the parents know well, and a son should not be so quick to disagree with what the parents say. Amar Rav Abba, Balevi, ain't poiskim al ktana, l'sir ktana. We don't obligate a ktana to get married when she's a ktana. Av poiskim al ktana, we could arrange a marriage for a ktana, l'sir that she'll get married because she's gedoyla. Ask the Gemara, pshita, why not? Answers the Gemara, Mada Tema, lim lechashtuma maila pachta. Maybe when the girl who's still a ktana knows that she's getting married, she's going to get nervous. Mahashta, ready from this point, the chalsha, and therefore she won't be able to withstand that news. Kamash Malan. And it's very interesting. Rav Zilberstein Zatzal, the Shlita, in the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed says that there's always the question of telling a patient what is their situation. He says, certainly in a situation where the patient is a ketana or cotton, when the patient is a child, and our Gemara says they can't always withstand difficult news. So we have to really be concerned about telling them something if they're able emotionally to deal with that news. Amar Rav Huna, Bagru Yom Echad, if a girl is a begeris, and she was a begeris only for one day, and then the skacha, we only give her 30 days till the nesuin, kalmana, just like we give the halacha by amana. Why? Explain to Rishonim. Because this girl, since she was getting older, at least in their world, she already started preparing for a wedding. So even though she wasn't yet a nerusa, she did the preparations for a wedding. Since she did the preparations for a wedding, that's why she should get married in 30 days. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. It says in the Braisa, Bagra Hare Ketavua. A girl who's a begaris is like any girl who's an arusa. My love, don't we treat her? Ask the Gemara, ketfua de besula. And we learned in our Mishnah that a besula is given 12 months. Says the Gemara, loy. She's treated like a tefua de almana, that she's given 30 days. Toshma, there's another braisa. The braisa says, begaris is shasa shtei masa chaydish. If it's after 12 months from when the begaris became an arusa, Rebbe Elazar Omer, hoyo v'chayiv, since it's 12 months, and at this point the husband, as we learned in the Mishnah, begins to support her. So at this point, Yofer. The husband is the one that could be made for the Darim, and the father, who normally, while a girl is a Arusa, then the Darim that she makes are annulled in a combination of the father and the husband. Here the husband, since he's supporting her, is the only one that is made for the Darim. Because as the Rishonim explained, since she knows that her husband is the one that is supporting her, every neder she makes al das bala. Ema, says the Gemara, the way we have to understand the Braisa, is by Geras Vishashar Shashtei Masuchaydish. The Braisa is speaking about two separate women. One is the Begeris, and the other one is a woman that was an Arusa, now it's 12 months since she became an Arusa. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hoyle Bala, Chayv Mizanasel, since both these cases, the husband has to begin to support Yofer, he has the right to be made for the nether. Toshima, so a different Bryce. The Bryce says, Hamaris is a psula, Bain Chitava Abal, Vima Kevis, whether it's the husband who wants to get married and she's the one that's delaying, or Bain Chitava he or Baal Makav, or she wants to get married and the husband's the one that's delaying it. Noisala, Shneimas Chodesh, we give it 12 months, Mishas Tviya. The 12 months, the clock begins ticking from when they wanted to get married, Avaloi Mishas Erison. Bagra, says the Braisa, Harei Ketfua. That she's always considered like a woman that the husband wants to get married to. Ketzad, Bagru Yom Echad, even if she was a begeris just for one day, and then when the skatcha she became muresas, Noisim Shnei Masa Chaydish. Larusa, do we give sometimes Shloshim Yom, says the Gemara. So we see from here, clearly, that the begeris gets 12 months. Tiyuftad Rav Huna, Tiyuftad that says the begeris gets 30 days. Ask the Gemara what is meant when it's said in the end of the Braisa, Larusa Shloshim Yoim, Omra Papa Hochikomer. This is what the Braisa meant to say. Begerish Ovalo Shnei Masa Chodesh Bebagris. But let's say this girl was a Begeris for 12 months. So that means at the time of her Erisin, she's 13 and a half years old. That girl, everybody agrees, Noslon Shloshim Yoim, we only give her 30 days, like an almana that gets 30 days from the Erisin to the Nisuin.